everyone, welcome to Reach Higher Riverside, where we share all Reach Higher stories happening in the greatest county in the nation. My name is Priscilla Grijalva, and I work at the best high school in the world. This month, we have a special interview with the National Student Clearinghouse. The National Student Clearinghouse is the leading provider for educational reporting, data exchange, verification, and research services. Fei Hui, who does work for the Research Center, and Michelle Gralick, who is the Senior Business Analysis for the Clearinghouse, will be joining us today. I hope you enjoy this interview. Hi, everyone. I'm with two amazing people from the National Student Clearinghouse. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved with the National Student Clearinghouse?
Okay, sure. I guess I can go first. My name is Fei Huey, and I'm a senior research associate at the Clearinghouse. I've been here for almost 5 years now, and my background mainly is in educational research with a focus on methodology, evaluation, and educational testing. What really drew me to the Clearinghouse was the amazing data that we have here. I mean, it's really the only national data set that provides practically real-time enrollment and completion metrics for practically all post-secondary institutions in the United States. Even though we've done so much with the data that we have, there's still so much more to explore, and there's just so much potential that the data set has to offer in terms of providing practical, useful, and just good information to help post-secondary institutions improve their outcomes.
Okay, thank you, Fei. Uh-huh.
Okay, hello everyone, I'm Michelle Gralick. I am currently the product manager for the student tracker service that focuses on the secondary market. And my background is I was at Sallie Mae for just about 20 years. And when you understand the history of how the Clearinghouse was started, Sallie Mae was very helpful because we started to help with compliance for students that had student loans to help manage the default rates and whether they were still in school and could be have loan payments deferred. So I was aware of the Clearinghouse because some of my former colleagues started the Clearinghouse. And then the way it just played out with that financial crisis that took us by surprise back in 2000, 2008, I was looking for a position and I remembered the Clearinghouse and I happened to look and there was something there. And it just so happened I started in student tracker secondary. So I've been with the Clearinghouse 12 years now, doing all student tracker. We had a grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to rewrite the student tracker high school service as it is today. And it has just been fabulous. I love student tracker. I love the data like Fei was talking about it, but I love helping the folks that use it understand what it means and what they can do with it. And I love it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I love the student tracker. I use it a lot. I love data. Can you talk about what kind of data the National Student Clearinghouse shares?
Sure. I'll go ahead and start that one, Fei. Again, the Clearinghouse was created 28 years ago now, I think, by the student lending community. And anyone who might be aware of how that operates from your own personal experience, there are a lot of players. The Department of Education, the colleges, the lenders, the servicers, the guarantors. And so when you were trying to make sure they all had the most up-to-date data for the student, whether he or she was still enrolled, eligible for deferments, et cetera, it was creating a little bit of a mess and you never knew who had the most current data. Hence, the community got together and created the Clearinghouse. The colleges report their data to the Clearinghouse and then we report it out to those players. It has since morphed into not just student loans, but all enrollment. So the big piece of data that we have are the students' college enrollment records. So because we are a compliance organization, colleges report, there's a strict schedule, two or three, maybe even four times a semester, because that all has to go out to the Department of Ed and these other the other players in the industry. So that is a key piece of data that we have, students' enrollment. And then, of course, along with enrollment, you want the credential, whether they're getting an associate's or bachelor's or even progressing on. We also have that data as well currently.
Yeah, that's amazing. Can you share where we can find that information about the colleges and universities' data college completion rates?
Yeah, so I can talk about that. So what Michelle was talking about earlier, that schools were providing us all of this information, what we do here at the Research Center is that we look at all of this data all together, and we try to ask ourselves, what kind of story can we put together to make sense of this massive amount of data? And really what we do is we just, we try to do research based off of that and look at different aspects of student enrollment and completion. And in terms of our reports, you can find them all on our website, which is nscresearchcenter.org. And there you can really browse through the different report series that we publish and select anyone that you're interested in learning more about. For college completions in particular, we look at that metric through several different angles. And for example, in our completions report series, we look at the 6-year completion outcomes for an entering cohort. However, in our yearly success and progress rates report, we look at those completions by year. And we even look at, you know, some of our more specialty reports, such as some college no degree. We look at students who re-enrolled after a hiatus and what their outcomes were a few years later. So really we provide lots of different analytical angles for just one college completions metric.
One of the things that we worked with our recruiters was encouraging our students to do their FAFSA even if they're going in the military, because a lot of students will eventually go to college and use that GI Bill, and they can use their Pell Grant from the FAFSA if they get it. So will this eventually track military enlistment?
That's a very interesting question, Priscilla. I'm glad you asked. We have the post-secondary data. As I said, we have, we internally call it the 3 E's. We have the enrollment, but we know that the folks that use Student Tracker want enlistment and employment. So we are working towards getting that data. It is a work in progress. I wish I had a date right now, but it is very definitely a high priority item for the higher ups in the company to get that data, employment and enlistment.
Yeah, that would be great to include. We actually just track the data at our site. We'll talk with the recruiters, but to actually have it on that National mm-hmm. Student Tracker report would be great. What about international colleges? I know some of our students will go to college out of the country, like Mexico or Spain. Do you have any of that in your data too, or no?
In our reports, I don't think that international colleges report their data to us. I know that we get some data from schools in U.S. territories like Puerto Rico, Guam, and the Virgin Islands. However, in our reports in particular, we don't include those numbers in there because they're so teeny tiny. But yeah, I don't think we have any international schools that submit data to us.
Right. If we do, there are a few, and it's related to whether for the Department of Education guidelines, students who would go to that college, internationally would be eligible for federal aid. So that's really the driver of whether they would participate with the clearinghouse.
Okay. Can you talk about the year-over-year change for the class of 2019 and the class of 2020 for college enrollment?
Yeah, absolutely. So in our high school benchmarks report, we looked at how the pandemic impacted high school graduations, as well as their subsequent enrollments in college. And what we found particularly interesting is that although high school graduations in 2020 weren't really affected, in other words, graduations stayed the same as the previous year, immediate college enrollments were. The immediate high school to college educational pathway decreased substantially from the previous year. Another thing that we found that isn't necessarily surprising was that it really hit graduates from urban, high poverty, low income schools the most. Those college enrollment rates for students graduating from those high schools dropped much, much more than their counterparts at higher income schools. And this ultimately impacted community colleges a lot. We found that enrollments in community colleges dropped the most out of the different sectors that we looked at. And, you know, this is very problematic because community colleges have traditionally served underrepresented populations, and they provide such an important role in access to higher education for our low-income students. So if those low-income students are not enrolling in post-secondary school, then really the two-year sector is going to be hit the hardest.
Yeah, we did notice that, especially at our site too. The college enrollment had dropped significantly. Yeah. But I know, like in our low-income community, a lot of students rely on their school counselors. And when we're physically at school, we can pull them in, help them with everything they need. So a lot of students that went dark, we weren't able to reach during this pandemic. So here's hoping that it gets better. And I know there's light at the end of the tunnel. I saw an article that reported undergraduate college enrollment is significantly down this past fall, but dual enrollment in community college by high school students isn't. Can you talk about that and how dual enrollment can help increase higher ed equity?
Yeah, so interestingly, in one of our reports, the current term enrollment estimates report for the fall, we actually found that dual enrollments actually fell a bit for community colleges. And the way that we identify students as dually enrolled is if they were under 18 at the time of enrollment. And so what we found was, regardless of how old the student was, enrollments fell at community colleges. But regardless of that, I mean, I can certainly talk about the benefits of dual enrollment. It's a huge benefit, obviously, for higher ed equity. In many states, these programs are heavily, heavily subsidized. So they're practically free for students to take advantage of, which means that students from the lowest income levels can essentially take these college classes for free. Dual enrollments not only reduce the time and cost of earning a degree, it also increases college readiness and expands access. And obviously, that's particularly beneficial for our underserved students. However, I think that when we talk about equity, it's really important to point out equitable access. We need to make sure that these amazing dual enrollment programs are even more readily available in the communities that have the most underserved, underrepresented populations, not just in the rich suburban areas. So I think that an important emphasis here is equitable access.
And if school districts are really interested in the National Student Tracker and don't already have it in their district, how can they find this information? Where would they go to?
Oh, Priscilla, it's amazing what you can find when you go to the web. Our website is www.studentclearinghouse.org. And I think our website is pretty clear. There's a tab right across the top that says high schools. And when you click in there, there's a link right to Student Tracker High Schools that talks all about the service. It has the link if you have questions, you know, and you actually want to speak with someone, you can submit an email. There's information about a link to the research center, you know, from where Faye is talking a lot about the report. So that makes it easy to connect to. And anything you need to know about Student Tracker is there, and we're always here. The email directly into someone is ST, short for Student Tracker, stservices@studentclearinghouse.org.
Yeah, and I would highly recommend it. I love your website and all the work that you guys do. Can you share a little bit about your why for this work? What is your why for what you do?
My why might get a little personal, but I grew up in a very blue collar, maybe a little, you know, lower middle income family. Neither of my parents went to college. My brothers did not go. So I was, you know, first in my family. And just when I think about how that changed my life, I'm getting a little, you know, I think Norman Rockwellish, but it really did make a difference for me. I enjoyed my college experience. It wasn't just educational. I grew in so many other areas, from, you know, how to work with people, leadership skills, so many different things. So when I see how important it is for today's youth, especially with you know, in order to have some type of career, you need some type of credential. It doesn't necessarily have to be post-secondary, but you need something beyond the high school. I mean, I just love helping the high schools and districts get the data to see how their students are doing, how the programs they've implemented at their institution, whether it be at the principal level, the guidance counselor, like we were chatting earlier about getting students to do the FAFSA. I just love working with them, but I love mostly hearing their stories, how they have made a difference.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, our school counselors definitely do use the data. How about you, Faye?
So my personal interest and passion is really in social justice. I truly, truly believe that education at all levels, not just, you know, getting an actual degree, it's the most powerful societal equalizer. As long as the research that we produce here at NSC is meaningful, practical, and useful for schools, then I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing, because that's, I totally believe with all my heart that it is the greatest societal equalizer.
Yeah, I love that. That's so true. Is there anything else you would like our listeners to know?
Absolutely. So when we're talking about our high school benchmarks report, we are currently in the processing of updating that report with newer data and with higher coverage data. More institutions would have reported their data to us between the time we released our last high school benchmarks report to this report. So we're so excited to see if there are any changes in the immediate high school to college trajectory. And be on the lookout. We will be releasing that report sometime in the next few months.
Okay, how to look for that.
Yeah. Right. And Priscilla, I'm sorry, just along those lines, what's so great about Student Tracker is the reports that we provide to someone who subscribes to the service, the way that we have the packet of outcomes syncs very much to the reports that the Research Center puts out. So you can get your packet of reports and be able to compare it to the ones that the Research Center puts out to see how you compare against the national numbers.
Yeah.
And I don't know that folks, that they understand that correlation, that there is definitely a relationship between Student Tracker, how we present the outcomes, to how the Research Center puts out their report.
Yeah, it's awesome that you're able to document, even during this global pandemic, it's part of history to look back and see, you know, what happened with this class and upcoming
classes. Absolutely. Yeah.
So thank you for that. And at the end of our podcast, we like to do the Sunshine Spotlight. Can you name at least one thing that's made you happy this week?
Well, first of all, I love this last question. This last question certainly makes me happy in and of itself. But I guess what really made me happy this week, besides MLK Day, was my weekly Monday cheat meal, where I completely indulged in Korean fried chicken.
That's awesome.
Oh, okay. I love that. Yeah. Well, mine is... And I know everyone is quarantined and in the pandemic, but I have an 8-year-old niece and a 3-year-old nephew that I miss terribly because, you know, we're trying to be careful, but I did get to see them this past weekend. So I think that makes the week here, Priscilla. And we just had so much fun playing. We turn on, you know, ask Alexa to play songs, and we have dance parties, and we just do puzzles. And my nephew was he had a saw, a little toolkit, and he was pretending to saw everything. It was just, it made me so happy considering everything that's going on with COVID and other things in Washington. And it was just such a delight to be with those kids.
Yeah, definitely some cherished memories for you. And I know for me, yesterday I went to get my COVID vaccine, the first one.
Oh, congratulations. So woohoo!
That did make me happy because, you know, I'm hoping that we can go back to work soon physically because I miss our kids. I know a lot of people do. And we've all been playing it safe, and it's been a while. So I know things are getting better. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, thank you guys so much for being part of the podcast. I'm excited to share your work and continue the great work you do across the nation. It's inspiring a lot of people, and we're using your data. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having us.
No problem. Okay. We can just say bye to everyone out there listening.
Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye. Remember, Student Tracker is the greatest service. It can help you so much. Anytime you have questions, please reach out.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Reach Higher Riverside. You can follow us on Twitter at RH Riverside. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Reach Higher Riverside. You can also subscribe to our iTunes or Google Play Music and give us a rating. Thank you so much for listening in. We appreciate all of you tuning in. And as Michelle Obama would say, when they go low, we reach higher.